Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. While a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
I think that's probably one of the favorite lines, closing lines of a hymn to me. Everywhere that we can be, you, God, are present there. Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. Today on the church calendar is Baptism of the Lord Sunday. And so we read the account of Jesus' baptism in the Gospel of Mark. Let us listen to this familiar story with new ears so that we might hear the voice of God in our lives. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locust and wild honey. And he proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." For the word in creation, for the word in Scripture, and for the word within us, thanks be to God. Listen. Listen. Can you hear it? One day, I'm not really sure what day it was. I'm not really sure when it was. It was a day in the past or maybe a day in the future. It could have been today, or yesterday, or just last week. I'm not really sure, but one day I was sitting under an aspen tree and a clear blue sky was above me. And a breeze came through that aspen tree. Have you ever been under an aspen tree when a breeze comes through it? The leaves actually come alive. They shimmer. And they make a sound like a thousand tiny tambourines. I looked up into the leaves of that aspen tree shimmering against a brilliant blue sky. And I knew in that moment that it's all one. I know when this day was. It was last Tuesday. I was up early. Before the sun had risen, I took a walk and I looked up in the eastern sky. Some of you may have seen this past week. Just before dawn, in the eastern sky, as bright as you could ever see it, was the planet Venus, shining alone in the heavens. Bright and beautiful. You may have also seen in the evening sky, about an hour or so after sunset. It wasn't visible last night because of the overcast skies, but maybe tonight we'll get another chance. In the western sky, just after sunset, or an hour or so after sunset, there is an alignment of Jupiter and Saturn and Mercury. Three shining brilliantly on the horizon. All of them voices from heaven. Psalm 19 tells us the heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth and their words to the end of the earth. My friends, the universe speaks to us continually, all of the time. Are you listening? Can you hear it? The universe speaks to us in recurring experiences in our lives, in dreams, in animals, in our pets, in wildlife seen in their natural habitat, in patterns throughout our lives, patterns of numbers, in synchronicity of life, as things seem to happen that we can't explain. The universe speaks to us in the objects of our lives, speaks to us in our language, in our pain, in our illnesses, in song and music, in poetry. The universe speaks to us in the weather, in the unexpected things in our lives that happen, in our emotions that seem to be out of place sometime, in unusual words that just don't seem to fit the moment, but we wonder, well, why that word? In smells that come to us that ignite our memory, and in gut feelings that tell us, yes, this is right, or no, this is wrong. The universe speaks to us continually. In the night skies, in the forest, in the oceans, are we listening to the universe? The story of creation that we read in Genesis, the voice brings creation into existence as the Spirit moves across the waters of chaos and light comes into the darkness. The universe speaks to us. In the story of Jesus' baptism, the heavens open and the Spirit descends and a voice speaks. Are we listening? to the universe today, in our day, and in our time? Are we listening to the universe? What you just heard was the introduction to the sermon I had intended to preach today. This was the introduction to my sermon of the presence of God in the universe and in our lives. And I have been imagining this for several days, and then came January the 6th. I want to tell you, though, this is still the introduction to my sermon. However, the darkness and the chaos of Genesis has revealed itself once again. The voice once again calls us to remember that we are loved and beloved by the Creator. The psalmist calls us once again to listen to the universe. Much blame and complicity has been proclaimed concerning the siege of the United States Capitol by domestic terrorists this past week. Yes, I use that word intentionally. I want to read the definition of a terrorist straight from the dictionary. A person who uses unlawful violence and intimidation, especially against civilians, in the pursuit of political aims. There is much complicity and culpability enough to spread among politicians, law enforcement, military, government officials, and yes, especially the sitting president of the United States. There is culpability to be spread among them all, and plenty of it. What happened on Wednesday was not an accident. It was not a sudden act of passion by innocent people. However, that's not our primary concern this morning. Even though it is our concern as citizens of this country, what our primary concern this morning is the complicity and culpability among people of faith, and especially the Christian church. Our concern this morning is us. Where are we? I'm about to share some images with you, and they may upset some of you. May make you angry. They may make you sad. They may make you whatever. But maybe they are intended to. I want you to look at these photos on your screen. This is a hat worn by not just one, but by many of the people on our National Mall this past week and for recent months and even years. Take a look at the next one. This was on our National Mall this past Wednesday. people who eventually ended up storming the Capitol building, terrorizing our Congress. Take a look at the next one. This is a flag being flown and waved by the people in this crowd. I've even seen this flag presented in different ways, in different places, in our own community. And then the next one. As people are walking toward the Capitol building, all smiles, and then the next one. That banner that was flying out on the National Mall is now being actually raised on the Capitol building. And finally, once security was breached and these hooligans and terrorists come into the Capitol building, they are in the chambers of Congress flying a Christian flag, an anomaly in itself. I hope these photographs that you have just seen, I hope that they stir you. I hope that they make you angry. Because we need to be angry. We need to have righteous anger. Now, if they make you angry in other ways, perhaps that's good too. Because you need to examine your anger. All of us need to do this. Our anger, our sadness, our grief at what has transpired in our country. I want to ask you a question. As you look at those photographs, is this who we are? Is this who we are as the church, as Christians? Unfortunately, yes. This is what a portion of the Christian church has become. And we can no longer say, oh, this is not who we are. My friends, the evidence proves otherwise. And all we need do is go back into our own scriptures and find ourselves there. Go back to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John or other chapters of other Gospels. But the 19th chapter of John is where it is stated so explicitly. Pilate comes out to the crowd and says, "Here is your king." And the crowd says, "We have no king but Caesar. Crucify him. Away with him." My friends, we talk about us being the crowd on the day of the crucifixion. We talk about that in very pious ways. And we put it at a distance and say, oh, we participated in that, but that's not who we are today. I want you to remember those photographs you just saw. I want you to watch the news. I want you to listen to preachers on the television and politicians siding up to preachers. This is who the church has become. And we need to examine who we have been created to be. And we need to listen. We need to listen to the universe. The universe around us is speaking to us. Remember who we are created to be, and that's what the baptism is all about. The baptism of Jesus. We come to these baptismal waters to remember who we were created to be out of the waters of chaos. Out of the darkness, into the light. And it is time for us to listen, to wake up, and to remember who we are created to be. You are loved. You are blessed. You are the beloved of the eternal presence and creator of the universe. Listen. Can you hear it? I certainly hope we can. Amen. Yes, there is water in the font. Also in our font is a stone that we have mentioned numerous times. It's a stone from the Jordan River that I picked up from that river back in 2006. And it is in our baptismal font to remind us of Jesus' baptism. And Jesus' baptism reminds us of the baptism of creation. That we are created in the image of God. That we are loved. January the 6th, the day of the desecration and the violence that we have witnessed in our country. January 6th was the day of Epiphany. The coming of light into darkness. The ripping back of the curtain, the taking down the veil, the revealing of the presence of God. Well, I would like to suggest to us that that veil was taken down. It was ripped apart. And what we discovered was who we really are. But Epiphany reminds us who we are created to be. And silence is complicity. Silence is culpability. There's a famous quote that's attributed to many different people, and perhaps the fact that they can't figure out who said it, but it keeps getting said over and over, is a testament to its abiding truth. But the quote is this: all that tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for good people of good conscience to remain silent. So I call you to three things today that I think our scriptures call us to. Listen. Remember who you are created to be. And then speak truth. Amen.